You still love me?
Of course.
Even though I don't understand?
Remember when I said I do? I still do take you, Ed Mitchell, to be my husband. Do you still take me to be your wife?
I do.
Then we're together.
Irregardless.
Irregardless.
Welcome to Radio Irregardless, your non-standard blend of irrespective and regardless. Now please welcome to the Internet Airwaves. Really? Internet Airwaves?
It's okay, you can just do it. It's just say Internet Airwaves. It sounds really cool.
Sorry, I'm just not.
Internet Airwaves.
Okay then. Please welcome to the Internet Airwaves, Mark Scalia.
And welcome to Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. Look at that. I'm back on. I got a lot of stuff working tonight. I'm surprised it's working as well as it is. Thank you, folks, for being part of the show. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you are listening one of two ways. Through our Facebook, my personal page, Facebook Live, and we always broadcast live, mistakes and all. And the other way you can listen to the slightly edited for time podcast version of the show. If you go to podbean.com, which is where we're hosted, you type in Radio Irregardless or Mark Scalia or Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia, and then it will come up, and then you can choose your format, whether you listen through Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify. I know there's like four to five. I set them all up. There's a lot of different options. But there's something for everybody at the podbean.com. So let's get into it, folks. Let me tell you about what's been going on, as I always do, with the Happening Now monologue.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
That's it.
When?
Just now. We're it now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
No.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
And this is a big week, folks. First of all, let's see if I can do this right. I got you in the studio. Let me see if I can move this around a little bit. Now, for the folks that are listening, you won't get the full enjoyment, but let me see if I can do this. I have set up my studio. Look at this. I got ceiling lights, folks. Look at that. Ceiling lights. I got a green screen just waiting to be dropped. My stand-up desk is completely organized. I have my mixer on a little tilt. I got to tell you this, folks, go to like Goodwill, go to Savers. First of all, you can find a ton of stuff there. That's the first thing. Second of all that money helps local charities. People donate. And if you have extra stuff that you're not using, donate it for the love of God. I do that all the time. I had a yard sale, and as I like to say, another successful yard sale. And I drop it all off at Savers when I'm done, and I can't sell any of that stuff. And I still got a ton of stuff upstairs from our last yard sale. But I got an elevator. I got a metal laptop stand there for like $7, and it's wonderful. I've set up my desk. You can't see it here. But the studio is almost completely done. I'm waiting on an arm, I'm waiting on an arm that's going to connect to the desk, and it's going to be in front, so my key light will be connected to that, and I can also put my iPad on top of that. Because right now, my iPad, you can't see it. My iPad is set up over here on a tripod, and it's kind of a pain in the ass. It's just I want to set it all up over there, and I'm getting close. I'm getting close to being full studio. And the reason I have the blue screen, I have a blue screen, a drop down blue screen, I have a drop down green screen. I bought, get this, shower curtains, dudes. Yeah, shower curtains, black, and basically they're 8 feet and they connect from one side to the other. I bought clamps. I hate to say I bought them all on Amazon, but I bought them all on Amazon because I had the lights already. And because I bought the lights at Savers, actually. Pretty sure I bought the lights at Savers. Bought the clamps and clamped those to the shower curtain rod, which is removable. Nothing to drill, nothing to make holes of. And it's connected through the light. Now, the light, there's a light bulb. It's a drop-down light, and it's a light bulb. I brought one of those outlets that you screw into the light bulb, and it's got two outlets. The two lamps plug into the two sides. It's got a pull string, so if I want the light on, I do the pull string. And watch this. This is the best. Hold on. Let's see if I can do this. I'm going to be out of frame. Let's see. Here we go. Ready? Watch this. Watch this. Oh, it's on a dimmer. You got to be kidding me. I'm just like, and my wife just went up. She goes, I took a picture of you. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because I click, click, click. And I'm all set up. I'm just, the studio is really coming alive. I'm really, really happy about that. And I've been trying to get some of my old technology work. I have an old 2008 MacBook, which I've been trying to put newer operating systems on it because apparently you can, but it's a total pain. Can't get it to work. I've been trying. So right now I upgraded to Lion and I've got, it's a dual boot machine. So Windows is on it. So I've been trying to play with my old tech to see what I really need and what I don't need and all this other stuff. So, but I'm watching a ton of YouTube videos, retro tech. Folks, there's a ton of shit out there. I don't know if you know that. And I'm into the big 90s, the total stuff. And here's the other thing. You don't know this, but I have my Vectrex, my old Vectrex video game. You know, some Google Vectrex, V-E-C-T-R-E-X. It's a video game console from the 80s. It does vector graphics. And you put on a plastic thing in front of it. And so you can see color because it's a black and white, little black and white TV, essentially. And I bought a cover for it because they make covers now. And I got a little cover and it's underneath there. And I redid my desk. I put a shelf under it. I'm just extremely happy how the studio is kind of looking. And hopefully it'll just keep getting a little better. And the quality of the show is going to get better. Well, I don't know about that. I can only do so much with the tech. I am feeling a little upset about things. I don't want to get too much into too many things because I got a guest tonight, so I got to get to it. Splash Mountain. I don't know if you heard about this. Disney has closed Splash Mountain because it's based on the Br'er Rabbit movie, you know, which is basically Songs of the South, which, you know, it's a Disney classic, and apparently it's not classic anymore. I guess it's not classic to have, you know, things that used to be. If you don't, I understand. I get it. I really do. I'm not one of these guys. Believe me, I want to keep retro tech, but I also like new stuff too. I know that things have to progress and things have to change and things have to get a little better. But if you don't remember where something came from, you can't possibly fix it because you're going to repeat it. You just can't wipe it out like it never happened because then people are going to go, and then shit's going to happen again. That's why I've got a 2008 MacBook. That's why we're broadcasting this show essentially on a 2012 MacBook Pro. I do not have new tech. The mixer, which is actually, I love the Zoom PodTrack P8 because
I'm the bad guy.
We can play a shit ton of things like that. And I meant to tell you this. I actually bought a 90-degree audio cable and a 90-degree XLR, and I put it there so I could have a cover. I'm such a geek. So I can put a cover over the mixer. So it's like a death cover. I don't want to get death on it. So fucking stupid. But I am feeling a little anxiety. Couple reasons. I decided I look a little disheveled. I haven't shaved. I'm not going to shave until tomorrow because it's a big thing. But I'm wearing a very tight shirt. Let's see if we can see it. See how tight it is? It's not tight because I'm bulking. It's tight because I'm becoming fat. I'm noticing that I'm putting on weight, especially the past couple of weeks. So I am pretty much going to try to go on a full liquid diet for the next 2 weeks. I've been eating soup. And I got a little crazy today. I was like, my wife's like, she goes, I got a turkey burger. I'm going to give it to you. I'm like, I'm not supposed to. She goes, hey, you got to eat it because otherwise you're going to fucking get all psychotic. And I do have some medicine. I've been taking some medicine. This, see my square ice cube? My wife got me that for Christmas. Square ice cube maker. so I can make an old fashioned and make it look good. It's mostly water, trust me. But I'm doing liquids. And the reason I'm doing all that is because, folks, I don't know if you know this, we've waited long enough. We've waited so long for the 2023 Salem Comedy and Spirits Festival.
It's festival.
What?
It's the will of Landrew.
I'd like to hear more about this festival.
No.
Landrew.
Wait a minute. Wait, that's another...
You tell Landrew that we'll come in our own time.
I'm sorry?
We're being probed.
Uh-oh.
In this direction. We all know one another.
Wait a minute. Okay.
No. That's... No, I was wrong.
Okay. That's the wrong soundbite. It's this one. The 2023 Salem Comedy and Spirits Festival starts tomorrow. January 26, 27, 28. We're at Notch Brewery tomorrow night. Friday night, we're at East Regiment Brewery. And Saturday night, we're at Deacon Giles Distillery. We are going to have some fun. We have 15 of the funniest comedians that were handpicked by me. I'm a one-man band. I do it all. And we got all these comics to come down, literally. And I had actually Brett Singer last week. And tonight, I've got another comedian performing at the festival. But I'm not even going to tell you. I'm going to tease it. I'm going to tease it. Because here's the thing. Folks, we're sold out. We are sold out. I got people on waiting lists. They're going to show up. They're going to try to get tickets. And I don't know. Maybe I'll be selling some chairs. I just want to make sure everybody has a good seat. Everybody has a good venue, a good vantage point for the show. And I want everybody to have a good time. I'm looking forward to it. With this year's festival, we've had so many glitches and bumps. Glitches and bumps is probably the best way to put it. And now that it's finally here, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing all these comics coming in from Atlanta, from Jersey, from New York, from Philadelphia. I think we have Minnesota. We have Boston comics. We have locals. We have so many people. If you want to go to the show, here's what my advice is. Show up, have a drink. If I can get you in, I will. That's the best I can do. But as always, this show, we sell out. And I barely advertised. Well, I did advertise quite a bit. But I'm super excited. But we're going to keep moving on. I will talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Let's talk about, real quick, this day in history.
Wait till I tell you what happened.
We got to move fast.
Would you please explain some of what happened today to me, please?
Moving fast.
And now, Radio Irregardlesses. This day in history.
So, today's an interesting day, as it always is. Let's go through this fairly quick. On this day in 1554, the founding of the city of São Paulo, Brazil. You're welcome. 1840, American naval expedition under Charles Wilkes was the first to identify Antarctica as a new continent. Almost 200 years ago, we're still fucking... We discovered Antarctica 200 years ago, so... Calm the fuck down with changing everything.
Calm the fuck down.
This is also amazing. On this date in 1858, the wedding march was first played at a wedding of Queen Victoria's daughter, Princess Victoria. 1858, the wedding march. Something we think, oh, it's always existed. No, it hasn't. Here's something else. 1881, Thomas Edison and Alexander Graham Bell both stole their patents. Anyway... form the Oriental Telephone Company.
Hello. How are you?
1919, the founding of the League of Nations. First met, and 1 year later, eventually to become the United Nations. 1924 on this date, the first Winter Olympic Games opened in France. On this day in 1937, the first broadcast of Guiding Light. You know the soap opera? NBC Radio, but it was still NBC. On this day in 1949, the first Emmy Awards. 1955, Columbia University scientists develop an atomic clock accurate to within 1 second in 300 years. We take time for granted now because everybody's got a phone and blah, blah, blah. Where do you think this shit came from? This will blow your mind. 1959, the first transcontinental commercial jet flight, American. Went from L.A. to New York for $301 in 1959. That was a shit ton of money. 1961, the first live national televised presidential conference with JFK. 1961, Walt Disney's 101 Dalmatians, based on the novel by Dudie Smith. He said Dudie. It's actually Dudie. Could be Dodie. Fuck it. It's Dudie. Released in the United States. 1970, MASH premiered today on this date. 1979, the first documented case of a robot killing a human in the United States. Here's the thing. I looked that up. Uh-oh. I know Elon is working on AI, but we don't need that shit. We don't need that shit. Come with me if you want to live. Okay, let's move on.
I'll be back.
I just didn't want to do that in post. Anyway, on this date in 1981, 52 Americans held hostage by Iran for 444 days arrived back in the United States. And, of course, on this date in 1999, the supernatural horror film The Blair Witch Project premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. I don't know if you folks saw that in a movie theater like I did. I saw it with at the time, my roommate, Kevin. And he was like, wow, that's freaky. And I go, is that it? Are you freaking kidding me? Anyway, let's move on. Today's birthdays. Alicia Keys is 42 years old. Jennifer Lewis, the actress, she's 66. Etta James, today is her birthday, unfortunately. She died in 2012, 73 years old. And of course, Vladimir Zelensky is 45 today. Yay! We just give you happy birthday. It's 31 Abrams tanks. What the fuck? Anyway. Let's move on. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to take our first break. And during the break, you're going to get a chance to listen to one of the funniest comedians in the Boston area, Ariana Samorian. And I keep saying it. I hope I pronounce it right. Samorian. She's going to be joining us. She's one of the comedians performing at the Salem Comedy and Spirits Festival. During the break, you're going to listen to a little clip from her. And when we come back, you're going to talk to her live. You're listening to Radio Irregardless. And I'll be right back.
For you.
I guess I'm probably not the surprise you expected.
They're back.
So what do you want to do?
And police still targeting them.
Tonight, Dateline's hidden cameras are in an undercover house complete with a hot tub.
So did you bring your swim trunks?
And Craigslist, we talk about oral sex.
There's the internet addict who comes clean.
I'm too old for this shit.
And the Marine sniper who comes armed.
Oh, it's all Sally. She's Bill Sweet. She got everything. The fuck that y'all need.
What's in store for all of these men? Chris Hansen with a new To Catch a Predator.
You're one ugly motherfucker.
And now, Radio Irregardless presents Ariana Samorian.
I never went through a girly phase, guys. It was goth tomboy. Now I'm just cold. All the time. Yeah, that's what happens when you grow up in Boston like me, though. Yeah. So if you guys don't know, I am Armenian. I'm Armenian, yeah. And I grew up in an all-white suburb. I feel like I'm a really bad Armenian, though, because I don't wear jewelry, I don't wear makeup, and I haven't filed joint custody yet with Kanye West. Yeah. What's funny is that I didn't even say what family I was referring to. You don't have to watch the show, but you know who they are. That's how powerful Armenians are, except me, because I'm very poor. I'm a very poor Armenian. But the only thing that Kim Kardashian and I do have in common is that we have the same taste in men. Tall, white, and malnourished. And that's Pete Davidson, guys. She took my man. She took my man on. I can't date Pete Davidson. I just want to feed him a salad.
And And you're back at Radio Regardless with me, your host, Mark Scully. And joining me via the, let me see if I get this right, because they were over here and we're over here. Let's go right to the guest. Yeah. There we go. Joining me, the aforementioned very funny Ariana Samorian. I keep saying it. Is that right? Samorian.
That is right. Thank you.
Okay. I'm always trying. I'm trying to get it right. Like, took me a long time to figure out Kardashian, too. I'm a Star Trek guy, so I say Cardassian. I keep saying from the planet Cardassia. I don't fucking care. I don't know about any of those stuff. So, Ariana, thank you for being part of the show. If you folks want to follow her, and please do as I always tell people, free stalk all the comedians. Well, it takes nothing. You just click a follow. It's a like or things like that. You can follow her many different ways. See if I get all these right. She's on Facebook at Ariana Samorian Comedy. Let me spell that for you for the podcast listeners. It's Ariana, and I'm only going to say this once because it's like three times. Ariana, A-R-I-A-N-A. Samorian, S-E-Y-M-O-U-R-I-A-N, comedy. That's on Facebook. On Instagram, just Ariana Samorian. On TikTok, Ariana Samorian. And on Twitter, fuck it, A Samorian. Because apparently, was there an Ariana just took that from you?
Third time's the charm. That's perfect.
So,
thank you.
Now that we got you here, Ariana, tell me and the lovely listeners all about yourself. You have a few minutes to just go through it, your entire life story. How long have you been doing stand-up? Where do you do stand-up? You're one of the comedians performing at the Salem Comedy and Spirits Festival. Your night is, if I'm not mistaken, Friday?
It is, yeah. And so first of all, Mark, I just want to thank you for having me on Radio Irregardless. This is an awesome podcast, and it's so cool that you've been on 10 weeks. It's amazing. Yeah.
You know, I appreciate that. No.
No. Just no.
No. It's I've been doing it for a while, but I enjoy doing it. And I just, to me, I just want to have fun. And sure. My wife is like, could you monetize this? I go, I could.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But probably not gonna. So we got you on a little bit of a delay. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to stop talking for a little bit.
No, it's fine.
Tell my lovely listeners all about yourself.
Okay, awesome. So I started doing comedy about a year and a half ago in Boston. And I always wanted to, I'm like one of those comics that started after the pandemic. So I'm one of those new comics that kind of like, I noticed that like after the pandemic, a lot of comics started to be, there are more comedians than ever, and unfortunately less shows, but I am one of those comics, but I think,
yeah.
but I think a lot of people, I mean, in comedy come from a very dark place, you know, so I think like it's very fitting for like after the pandemic, people want to laugh after like everything that we've been going through, but that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do comedy. I've always wanted to do it for a very long time, even prior to a year and a half ago. I'll mention like a little bit later in the podcast that you mentioned, one of the first times I've done stand-up comedy, it was actually 2 years prior to the pandemic. And it was my first open mic was in Georgetown, Massachusetts, not too far from Salem. So you want me to tell you about that now or a little bit later in the show?
Oh, no. We'll talk about that. What's some of the clubs you perform? Because I know that Laugh Boston's kind of a tough nut, but where do you perform in Boston?
So I actually don't really do that much in Boston, but I've been mostly doing really well with comedy festivals. I didn't really think I would get booked that much. And in the beginning, when I started doing comedy, I didn't really apply myself and I didn't really reach out to bookers, but I started to realize like, oh, okay, I can apply for festivals and maybe they can give me some feedback. I know I wouldn't get in. Because I mean, I didn't think that at the time that the years mattered, but I gave it a shot at my first festival I ever did was the Comedy Chateau Festival in Los Angeles, and I got in for that was my first one I got in. Actually, the first one I actually got into was the Laugh Riot
festival in Los Angeles with Bobby Oliver, and she's amazing too, and that's also a great festival. But over time, I got those connections in LA, and I also got some connections in New York City. So I performed mm-hmm. at a few clubs in New York and also in Los Angeles. But the Boston scene, mostly just people just like to, a lot of my friends would always self-produce their shows, and mostly at it could be restaurants or dive bars. And so that's where I'm kind of like starting off right now. And of course, I'm still a baby, so I'm still new to the whole game. But I am. But in the beginning, yeah.
You're young. No, you're young in the business. You're not baby. That's different. You're young in the business, but you had said something which was kind of interesting to me. You said comedy is a I don't know if you said comedy comes from a dark place or we're coming out of a dark place, or because both are true, really. I think about it. What made you? What did you ever study acting, writing, or anything like that? Or you just always wanted to just, you know, jump into it?
Yeah, I always enjoyed performing. In college, I did a little bit of like theater and mostly like crew and behind the scenes work. But I always wanted to try to do performing, and I never really had the confidence to do it. A lot of my I was a little bit discouraged because some of my friends who were performers, I was saying to myself like, oh, they're so much better than me. I can never be like that. And I'm an introvert, and never really thought that I could ever be on stage to perform. I always thought that stand-up comedy was improvised on the spot. Oh, I didn't realize Yeah, I thought it was all improvised. Yeah, I didn't realize that you could write jokes.
It depends on the comic, really.
Sure. Yeah.
No, yeah. I agree with you. When I when I started, I wrote a bunch of stuff that was not good. It just was terrible.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how to write jokes. And then I was saying things that was way funnier than what I wrote, and I realized that's kind of my style, is to say something and then write it down. To actually sit down and write, it's very tricky for me, but I thought, oh wow, how that, you know, it's fresh and it's different, and it's different every time. But yeah, it is, it's all written down. Mm-hmm. But there's a certain amount of flexibility with improvisation, and that's where a lot of comics think, oh, I'm gonna do crowd work. It's like, no. If you're doing crowd work as a comic, you're doing crowd work, which is very different than material.
Oh, definitely.
So, this is always the tough thing, because going into the crowd scares comics, especially newer comics. Mm. Have you been going into the crowd a little bit, asking generic questions? Have you been heckled? Like, do we had to deal with it?
Yeah. So, one of the first few times I have done comedy, I was heckled many times, but I actually just did. Now I enjoy it because I feel like it kind of like it builds character, right? Yeah.
You suck, boo.
When I was in New York City with my friend recently, we went to a heckle show where you sign up and people are heckle you at the show. I got so much material from that. It was so much. I felt empowered because I knew going into it that people were going to heckle me, and I had to think on the fly, how am I going to respond to this this feedback or this criticism way. But it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. If it's like set up in a way where people know it's all just jokes and people are just like having fun with it, I'm all game. But yes, of course, I was in the beginning.
See, here's the thing. What we used to do is, me and a ton of other comics, we started years ago. And what they would do is we would do something called back miking somebody, where comics would be in a back mic in the back of the room, and they would fuck with the comic on stage. It wasn't the audience could heckle, but comics were heckling other comics, which is brutal.
Yeah.
Because how do you fight that? And my thing has always been, somebody's going to be funnier than you one day. It just happens. Somebody's going to say something that's funnier than you, and you're not going to be able to come back. But with comics, intentional people fucking with you. It's the worst. And you're like, you're on the mic going, yeah, everything's fine. And you're waiting for somebody just to heckle you. And sometimes it comes and sometimes it doesn't. But yeah. I don't know. See, I can deal with hecklers. I just.
Sure.
I don't know. This is the honest truth. I don't know if I would go to one of those shows. I don't know if I'd fucking do it. Like, I don't want to do it. Good for you. But I remember opening, like, you open now, like, I see openers now and they're like, oh yeah, I'll do 10 minutes. And I'm like walking through flames and I'm like, fuck. Well, you know, I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that anymore. Cause I did enough of it. But now it's like, there's a level of, I do have a level of, what's the right word? Admiration. I have a good amount of admiration for anybody who opens in this day and age and can get it done.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to. I mean, I have to open every once in a while. You know, it's like 10 minutes and then go do another show. Yeah. But I'm in the back just going, fucking wrap it up. Just go. Just get me on there so I can get the fuck out of here. Just okay. But to walk on stage with a set of, you know, just impenetrable cojones or cojones. I don't know. I've been drinking. But chutzpah is a good one. Chutzpah is a good. That's generic. I'm not. Yeah. Cojones is too. Is that? I'll ask you this. Do you ever? I mean, I have a huge problem adjusting to the new culture. And I hate to say it like that, but new culture, how are you dealing with it? I mean, you're young in the business and you're young in general.
Yeah.
You can't, don't tell me your actual age, but what are you, 27 tops?
Oh yeah.
You're a child.
You're too kind. I'm 30.
Yes.
What? 30 years young. Yeah. No, people always say that. Yeah. I look like a dress like an eighth grader. So no one can really tell what age I am. Sorry. Did you spit your drink?
I almost did. That's good rum. I don't want to ruin that. Jesus Christ. I dress like an acre. Actually, speaking of that, you folks don't know this, but we did a pre-show. We had to do the pre-show interview, and Ariana was wearing a bathrobe, and I was like, we can do video or not if you don't want to. She goes, no, I'm okay. And I was like, okay, just, you know, it's fine. It's like, my wife's like, why are you talking to a girl in a bathrobe on live? Why is that going? I'm like, honey, it's a comic. She goes, oh, okay, that's whatever.
Oh, okay, she's fine.
She's always fine. No, actually, my wife's pretty cool. I make fun of my wife in my act a lot.
Yeah.
But my wife is, she's a sweetheart. She's actually you're probably going to meet her because with the festival, I run the entire festival. I do all the bookings. I do all the screenings. I do all the promotion. I do like every single bit of it. But my wife handles some of the stuff. First of all, she'll be there at each night helping with tickets so that I can actually just be with the comics and just be a comic instead of like being a producer and this, all that. But the other thing she does, which I'm not a fan of, she's on the social. She's on the, she's on the Instagram, she's on the Facebook, she's on the Twitter. Yeah. She's doing all that stuff and I can't do any of that stuff. And she's like, she's like fucking tagging it to holy hell. Have you seen the post? That's my wife. I don't do any of that shit. But my thing is, I just want to tell jokes, make people laugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But my wife, but you'll get to meet her.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You're a lucky man. She's doing all that for you. That's great. That's great.
She's a marketer. She's a very good marketer. So let's do this before it gets too late. Let's take our second break. And when we come back, folks, let's see, we got how many people we got? We got a bunch of people listening. So you're going to compete. You're going to do a little game, a game I wrote especially for you. And it's going to be interesting. So hang on to the break. You're listening to Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. We'll be right back.
On this episode of Real Celebrity Rumors, The Flintstones. The show first aired on September 30th, 1960, but was canceled 6 years later due to the one-a-day vitamin scandal. More difficulties came when Fred's dog died by choking on a brontosaurus bone. A police autopsy revealed later it was actually from an apatosaurus. In April 1987, Wilma filed for divorce. Later that year, she wrote a tell-all book, Yabba Dabba Do's and Do Nots, My Life as a Flintstone. Fred now lives alone in Bedrock. And on the next Real Celebrity Rumors, the Powerpuff Girls, Sugar, Spice, and Not Everything Nice.
Hey everybody, this is Frank Hauser with The Great Movie Challenge. You're listening to Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia. He thinks Irregardless is a word. He's kind of like a big brother that you didn't ask for or want.
And you're back at Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And still joining me on the Facebook Instant Messenger is Ariana Samorian, and I want to say because it's S-E-Y, but it's suh, like suh, not say.
Yes, I always like to, like, if I'm like breaking down the word, I'll just do C-more-E-N, Samorian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, again, you can follow on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I say TikTok as a fuck-up anyway. On TikTok. I'm not on the TikTok. On Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. She's Ariana Samorian Comedy on Facebook. Ariana Samorian on Instagram. Ariana Samorian on TikTok and A Samorian on Twitter. And, again, I'll spell that one more time for you podcast listeners. Ariana is A-R-I-A-N-A, Samorian, S-E-Y-M-O-U-R-I-A-N. That's how you follow her. So definitely free stalker, because she's new in the business, but she's doing a lot of things. And I will say this before we get into the game. During the pandemic, every comic was submitting to some festivals, and they were all virtual, including mine.
Sure.
And I found virtual comedy shows interesting.
Yeah.
My thing is I can tell jokes and not wait for people to laugh. But what happens is some of the newer comics who had never done live shows were doing virtual, and they were doing these things. They were reading off notes. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, I understand, but put the notes on the screen and then go like this. Don't go, yeah, so there's some jokes, and then I'm going to tell a joke, and there's some other jokes. And that's the joke. And then my only problem is now we went back to live shows, and a lot of the comics that were doing virtual stuff had huge problems doing live shows. Mm. Now, you started after the pandemic or just before, or?
It was just after. Yeah, I was like in the middle, like right after the pandemic. And I did like a few shows, but I feel, and a few Zoom shows, and I wasn't, I understood that it was like a good way to like just keep us motivated and push us through like that time and everything. But I think for the people that like look at the notes and everything, I think it's all about the connection with the audience. If you need to have your notes on a stand, that's fine. But I think that just maintaining that connection with your audience is key.
And I mean, especially With Zoom, it can be a shit show anyway.
Yeah.
Because you tell people turn their mics on, and it's always the whole, how do you turn on the camera? I don't know. Are you ready? Have they started already? And it's like all these people. And I'm like, shut your mics. And you try to find out who the person is. And as somebody is in control of Zoom, you try to mute all the mics. But then you just do a live studio. But it's sometimes it's a shit show, just connecting. But when you're traveling now, you said L.A., comedy festivals in L.A. Where else? What other comedy festivals? Of course, mine, but that's fine. You're here. But New York.
Yeah, no. Yeah, of course, Salem Comedy Festival will be the best one. I'm very excited about that. I can't believe it's like coming up. We got LA, New York, but Salem. No, I actually used to live in Salem. I right after the pandemic, I moved back up. I was living in Florida, but I moved back up to New England because I was born in Bedford and I lived with my parents for a bit, but then I moved to Salem. Yeah, I moved to Salem and I stayed there for a few. I lived off of Lafayette Street near downtown.
Yeah.
It was a real, it's such a beautiful, quaint town. It was really awesome to be there. But now I've moved to Rhode Island, and that's where I currently am right now. But yeah, no, I. I've done five, but I honestly can't remember the other ones on the top of my head. But
you know, they all blend.
But they're
it's
all
the big
like,
ones. But I But I would always say keep submitting. To a lot of festivals. Salem, this is sold out, and the people love coming to this, and they've been doing it. I've been very lucky. I've been doing it as long as I have. So, and thank you for being part of it this year. So let's do this. Tonight's game that I'm going to be playing with you is called The Best of Thinkers. And we're going to play. Yeah. This is a copyright music. As long as I play like 20 seconds of it, I'm okay.
All right.
It's a podcast. It doesn't matter. All right. So now, Ariana. Now, I thought about what I could do. I'm like, oh, let's say, Ariana, there's a famous, did I do famous Arianas? And I'm like, Ariana Grande, and that's it. And then I thought, let's keep it interesting. I'm going to be asking you a question, and because you and I are speaking via Facebook Messenger, we are essentially speaking instantaneous. We have a little bit of a delay, but the listeners are listening on a 5 to an 8 second delay. So you have a 3 to 5 second advantage. The disadvantage of there's more of them than of you. So you have time advantage. So I say it's the best of thinkers. And I say the best of thinkers is because we're going to take A-R-I in your name, Ariana, and I'm going to give you words that have A-R-I in them, A-R-I consecutively.
So
Do you know that Ari means, you know what it means?
I don't. What does it mean?
It means superior. It literally means superior, the best of thinkers. And of course, the famous bearer of the name is Aristotle, A-R-I, Aristotle. And speaking of Aristotle, this is the test question. Everybody gets it right. It's super easy. If I said, now keep in mind, you have to have A, R, and I in the word. If I said, this is about the properties and manipulation of numbers.
Oh, man. Properties and manipulation of numbers.
We've shortened it down to a 4-letter word. You have English, you have history, you have science, and you have, I would say poor people smoke it. It sounds like that.
Oh my God.
Not meth, but.
What's a subject that you smoke? I have,
No.
What?
See, here's my problem. Okay. I think so fast and I spout pieces of information. People are like, what the fuck did you just say? It's the properties and manipulation of numbers. Okay. That is the clue. And the answer has A-R-I in it consecutively. The word that it sounds like would be a drug that some people smoke and end up very skinny.
Wow. Okay. I am so dumb when it comes to math. Wow. All right. Let's think.
Whoa! What did you just say?
Is it math? Yeah.
Math is the short name for it. What's it actually called?
Algebra?
No.
What's it? Mathematics?
Yeah. Yes. It's, what is it?
Mathematics.
Right. But it's an actual, a little longer with A-R-I in it. I'll give it to you. Arithmetic.
Okay. Arithmetic. That's
okay.
Good.
So
that's a good one.
That was the. All right.
All right. So I failed.
This is going to be fun.
Okay.
How about this one?
All right.
A relatively small privileged class. A relatively small privileged class. It is also a name of a Walt Disney cartoon that has cats in it.
When I think Disney, I think Ariel. But is it Aristocrats?
It is Aristocrat, correct. If I said to get up, as from a sitting or prone position.
Mm.
This one's a little tricky.
Is it arise?
Arise! There we go. This is a stupid fucking name. I don't care. How about this? If I said an area lacking moisture, or just lacking moisture in general, but people would think it's more of a climate or an area.
Okay.
Four letter word. Three of them are A-R-I.
Wow, this is a four letter word? Okay.
It's a four letter word and A-R-I are three of the letters.
What? Oh, yes. No. I'm not going to get this right.
Wait a minute. If my wife types in, she might.
Oh, is she?
So far, though.
Is she?
Oh, yeah. We got a few people listening. They're not typing anything yet. They're just listening.
That's awesome.
Which is fine.
Okay. It's, I don't know. Is it, I can't think. Does anyone?
Lacking moisture is arid.
Oh, I wouldn't have gotten that.
Okay. How about this? A solo as in an opera.
A solo.
Another four letter word.
Oh my God. A solo. I'm like
yes,
trying to like figure it all out in my head right now.
It's the whole thing. I had a comic on here, and every time I asked her a question, she was like, I feel, what the fuck? She was like going into full blown panic mode. It was so funny.
Right.
It's a four letter word.
I had, yeah.
Three of the letters are A R I.
Yeah.
And it's a solo in an opera. Oh, my wife said it. It is.
It's aria.
Aria. Aria.
Okay. Wow.
Yes. All right.
I'm learning so much tonight.
My wife said darn delay. All right. If I said Little Mermaid.
Yeah, Ariel.
You got that one right. If I said anyone between the ages of 80 and 90. Oh, 80 and 90 years old.
I mean, I just think of seniors, but I don't know like what a synonym of that would be.
It's a fairly long word. It's the actual name of a generation from the 80s to 90s.
Oh.
And it has A-R-I in it.
Well, I mean.
Okay, I think, okay, if it's a, if you're in your 80s, so think of eight, and it's a kind of a generation, so you would kind of put those two together. The Latin word for eight is...
Ah, man, you're putting
the animal with eight legs under the eight legs under the ocean.
Octopus.
Very smart. Octa. Before my wife puts it in.
Wait.
Between 80 and 90, you would be an octa.
Wait, octogen. Wait, what was the second word?
You're close. You're there. You just said it. You said octogen.
Octogeneration?
Close. You know something? I'm going to give it to you.
All right.
Octogenarian. Now my wife puts it in. There we go. This one's very easy.
Okay.
An underwater vehicle. They have nuclear ones now.
An underwater vehicle? Submarine?
Yes. Because it's A-R-I right in it. There you go. If I said something lions do or the 1920s.
Okay.
I took time. I fucking took time to write this shit out.
That's awesome. I can't.
If I said something lions do or the 1920s.
Oh.
What's a lion do?
Well, they hunt.
Yeah. But hunt doesn't have A-R-I in it.
Yeah.
Have you never heard of the 1920s, the what it was referred to as?
Is it the, well, is that when everyone dressed dapper, or is that a different generation?
Yeah, they spent a shitload of money. They drank all the time. They spent a lot of money. I bet a lot of money. It would, the 1920s was the equivalent to the 1980s. Everybody had money and they were spending money like crazy. And it was also known as the Roaring 20s.
Okay. The Roaring.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or what a lion does. A lion roars. I don't know. That's fucking. Yeah, this one's easy. Somebody who serves coffee at like a Starbucks.
A barista.
A barista. A-R-I. Write it. Here's what I'm getting. That was.
You know what's funny?
I put these together, and then I'm like, you know, if I had to play these games, I'd be exactly where I'd be like, I don't fucking know anything.
No, but, I'm choosing, like, all the ones that, like, are in, like, my era. Like, the like, I don't, I would have never have known what a, I forget the
octogenarian. Well, did you see the movie Up?
Yeah, I have seen the movie Up. So is he, I'm assuming he's.
Yeah. Well, his character, yeah, he's an octogenarian. Somebody in the, from the 80s to 90s, that's an octogenarian.
Wow.
If somebody's in their 70s, they would be a septuagenarian, because you just take the seven and the Latin word for it. So I'm in my 50s, so I think a pentagenarian, but I don't know if that even is a word, but maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't earned it yet. But yeah, the Roaring 20s. So let me do this. Let's take our third and final break. And when we come back, I'm going to tabulate the scores. But when we come back, we are going to talk to Ariana and find out about her first time on stage, her best time on stage, and her worst time on stage. You're listening to Radio Irregardless. I'll be right back.
Love food and wine? Get to know Salem, Mass in a fun and delicious way. Join me on a Salem food tour. Our 5-star rated walking tour gives guests the perfect opportunity to enjoy an afternoon with friends or coworkers. Great for locals and visitors, our tours book in advance and can be crafted for your special event. For more information on our tours and to make reservations, please visit us at salemfoodtours.com.
Loyal listeners of Radio Irregardless, my name is Paul Kravitz. Yes, that Paul Kravitz. Mark, I would like to invite your listeners to watch my show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. right here on Facebook Live. If you like the show, perhaps you'll consider subscribing to the Paul Report on any of the following: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. That's the Paul Report, Thursday nights, 9 p.m. on Facebook Live.
To leave a question or comment, call the Radio Irregardless hotline at 978-219-9294.
And you're back at Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And I never swapped the camera. That whole fucking time, I was watching this little graphic of the break, but I got you back now. And still with me is Ariana Samorian. And again, if you want to free stalk her, follow her on social media. She is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ariana Samorian. On Facebook, it's Ariana Samorian Comedy. On Instagram, it's just Ariana Samorian. On TikTok, it's the same thing. And on Twitter, it's just A Samorian. There are A Samorian, there's the Samorian, and she is A Samorian, apparently. So I tabulated the scores. Technically, you got 6 out of 10. You win. I listened to my wife. My wife was writing down some things, but yeah, you got a new one. I'll give it to you. All right. You win. There you go.
You win.
So before we let you go, and then we'll get to see you to Friday night, please, if you would, tell me and my lovely listeners about your first time on stage, your best time on stage, and then, of course, your worst time on stage. And please do it in that order. First time on stage.
All right. So my first time on stage was in Georgetown, Massachusetts, which is right next to Salem. And I this was like 2 years before I even started doing comedy. And it was at a dive bar. And I don't even think that the bar even exists anymore. It's probably abandoned now. But it was, they didn't even like, it was, it, there was an open mic that night and it was optional, but I was just feeling very adventurous that night. There was a band. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a band and I just said, fuck it. I'm just going to get up there. I don't care what I'm going to say. I'm just going to do it because at the time I thought that you just improvised. And so I didn't write anything down and I just went for it. And, I completely bombed, but I was heckled for the first time too. A guy in the back of
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Really?
What the fuck? What is wrong with people?
Yeah, there was a guy in the back of the room that said like, "Hey, take off your shirt." And I was not confident at the time. There was a pole in the center of this bar, and what I should have said to that motherfucker was, "You first, sexy. Yeah. You take off your shirt first." I should have fucking said that.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Yeah. So that was the first time I ever did stand-up.
What was your best time? Now you've only been doing it about a year and a half, but you must have some like really good high points. Take your shirt off. That's pretty good. But I mean, some really your best show up until this point. Let's hear about that.
Yeah. So the best one that I ever did was probably at the Comedy Chateau in Los Angeles because it was my first time I really like got to meet my other comedy friends that kind of like had the similar goals as I did, and we were all just really happy to be there. It was like our first one that we ever really did together. But I did my first 10-minute set there, and I was only like probably 5 months into doing comedy, and I felt so empowered doing it because here I am traveling across the country, and I thought I was going to bomb, and I knew I was going to bomb, but I didn't. I did great, and I crushed it, and it was a hot room, and I just felt amazing after. It was the best feeling.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And now that we've heard about your first time on stage, which is, you know, a little rough, and the best time, that's amazing. You go across the country, you're performing in a foreign land, and you have all these comedians supporting you, and you had 10 minutes and it was a hot room and you crushed it. Now, let's hear about your worst time, which to me is always the best, because comics love horror stories. So your worst time on stage.
Sure. So I was debating on which one I wanted to say, but I think that my other worst one was also I feel like my other worst one, I'm also going to say the Comedy Chateau in Los Angeles, because I was booked for two shows, and the second show crushed it, and it was a 7 o'clock show, great audience, and it was a perfect time. I was on the right, like it was a great show. The first show that I was booked on for that festival, it was started 11 o'clock at night, and I was the last one on the list. I got on the stage at 1 a.m. So no one in the audience, five people in the audience, and they were all comics. And they heckled and they said, "What the fuck are you saying, Ariana? Your jokes make no sense." I was like, "Fuck you guys." I was so upset. But
backed Mike in front of you.
Yeah. I was like, it was fun. It was the second show crushed it, so it was worth it in the end. Mm.
Comics, I'll be honest with you, I've known a lot of comics for a lot of years, and people can be amazing, and then people can be the most horrible thing.
Yeah.
And comics are, I think, the antithesis of the best and the worst of human beings. Like, when they're good, absolutely amazing, like, the most generous and just want to connect and like real people oriented and just like sincere. And then when they're mean, they're the meanest fucking people on the planet.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, that's a great story. And it was the same festival. That's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny. But you had the shitty show first and the good show second, right? Is that the way that worked?
Exactly.
Yeah. See, yeah. Can you imagine it was the other way around? Oh, you would have been like, I'm fucking stopping this shit. I'm not doing this no more.
Yeah. There was supposedly scouts in the audience and bookers in the audience too. I was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to like be on the second show. But the second time, like the booker was in the audience and they're like, oh yeah, you'll be back. You can come back anytime. And so I was like, thank God.
Like, nice. Well, we actually, we have a professional photographer coming tomorrow night. He's going to take him photos of everybody, maybe a little bit of video.
Okay.
I've got some promotional people coming over the weekend, and the comic, the booker I work for, I worked from 2 weeks ago. He's coming, and you know, and at the end of it, I send out emails to everybody to tell everybody who I work for and what their contact is, and hopefully, you know, get more work and just network with each other. But thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you for having me. I'm excited for the festival, and thanks for organizing it. And tomorrow,
we'll definitely have some fun. So I will see you soon, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Ariana Samorian, everybody. So funny. Those fucking stories. I hate comics. They're the worst fucking people everywhere. So as always, folks, if you want to follow her on social media, please do. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. She's at Ariana Samorian Comedy on Facebook, Ariana Samorian on Instagram and TikTok, and A Samorian on Twitter. So, folks, let me tell you what I got going on, and we'll put this all to bed for you folks. This weekend, of course, I will be at the Salem Comedy and Spirits Festival Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I'm looking forward to it. After all the glitches and the bumps, it's going to be a lot of fun I'm looking forward to it. I really and truly am. So, as always, folks, if you want to be a sponsor, a guest, leave a question, a comment, email the show at radioirregardless@gmail.com. You can always call the hotline, 978-219-9294. Go to my website, markscalia.com. Check out me for more live performances. Next week, the next show will be February 1st. We'll see you soon.
This has been Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia, your non-standard blend of irrespective listening and regardless enjoying. Radio Irregardless was written, directed, and produced by Mark Scalia, and broadcast and recorded live. The Radio Irregardless theme, If Only I Had a Pen, was written and composed by Derek Dupuis. All music and audio clips used are property of their respective copyright owners. All material is the property of MS Enterprises and copyrighted 2023, all rights reserved. Listen to previous episodes of Radio Irregardless by visiting podbean.com, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and wherever podcasts can be found. And thank you for listening.
Hello, hello. Just a moment, okay?